In Malenka and the City of Monsters, the quest to find a stolen heart. And new rules will hit Alaska recyclers and landfills. It's the Cage Nest Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Haynes puppet troupe Geppetto's Junkyard took the stage of the Chilkat Center last weekend. Through puppets and people, the production told the story of a woman whose heart is stolen, literally, and her journey to get it back. The sound of a heartbeat is heard throughout the show, as the main character, Malenka, tries desperately to get hers back.
There lived a girl, all silent, her voice had rusted away. No friends, no plans, no love, no pain. Her heart.
Malenka's heart was stolen by Mr. Fetch, a character voiced and a puppet operated by Melina Shields.
What a fine piece, and barely used. I'm sure this will make a lovely trade in the City of Monsters, where all the deals are made. Until next time.
Mr. Fetch takes her heart to be sold in the City of Monsters.
You want hearts to sell? I got money to buy.
Hannah Bocart wrote the show, Malenka and the City of Monsters.
I kind of wrote over the course of one night for the most part. And then my sister, Marith Bocart, contributed one scene as well.
Bocart also plays the main character, Malenka, with one big challenge. For most of the story, Malenka can't talk.
It was a challenge to me to try and make a puppet that moves as well as possible, to try to convey a character without words. And I also kind of like the idea of having a main character that has things happen to them and has to react.
Bocart says the story could be interpreted in a few different ways.
Bit of a cautionary tale in that, you know, if you don't, I think one character literally says it in the play, if you don't use it, you lose it. But it's also sort of a tale of self-discovery and learning how to use a literal and figurative heart and what is the point of being alive and having the potential for adventure and love and caring.
It's also a story of humor, especially when Bocart's sister Merrick is on stage with her husband, Joey Jacobson.
Oh, wow. Real toxic sludge? Can I touch it?
Yeah, sure. You just take it. You dump it in the river, keeps it nice and cool, bada bing, bada boom, no combustion.
Of course, the City of Monsters was full of various creatures, like a garbage monster.
Oh, leave me alone!
No, another garbage!
No more leaving garbage pile!
In the end, Malenka finds her heart. Just as the Boiler Man is about to burn it, an alternative energy used in the City of Monsters.
Well, you must not have been putting it to much use if Mr. Fetch stole it. Mr. Fetch and all the peddlers like him keep our city alive. More and more human hearts are being wasted these days, letting the poor things go stale while you waste your lives. Never touching each other. Never meet in one another's eyes. Humans, you've got these engines in your chests, enough to keep the lights on forever if you just use them right, and you're letting them rust.
The Boiler Man wonders,
could it be that in the journey to get your heart back, you finally learned how to use it?
And Mr. Fetch hypothesizes as Malenka chooses to give her heart away.
But Malenka had grown through pain and through panic, through friendship and fear. Though her chest was still hollow, her lesson was clear. It's a lesson to learn, for you've grown old and gray. The best use of a heart is to give it away.
Throughout the story, the pieces are woven together with song, like this one, sung by Sylvia Hines.
Are the days, are the days, are the fine
Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. Here's an example of how global events can affect you at home. Much of the cardboard, plastic bottles, and other items recycled in Alaska end up in China. The same is true for much of the West Coast. But that country is about to impose new rules limiting what it will accept. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld looks at what that means for our part of the world.
Locals sort through tubs and boxes of empty bottles and cans on a recent afternoon at Juneau's recycling center. They toss aluminum in one bin and plastics numbered 1 and 2 in another. Cardboard has its own place, as does mixed paper, and nearby containers hold glass and tin cans. Those recycling generally like the idea of reusing items and keeping them out of the nearby landfill, but soon, that's going to be a little harder to pull off. A substantial amount of Alaska's recycling is shipped to China. There, it's shredded and processed before being turned into new products at that nation's numerous factories.
China takes so much of the U.S. materials. They have a lot of market power.
Mary Fisher is executive director of Alaskans for Litter Prevention and Recycling. She says China will start limiting what it takes at the beginning of next year. She says plastics number 1 and 2, such as soda bottles and milk jugs, will continue to be accepted. The same is true for aluminum cans and corrugated cardboard. But the higher number plastics, numbers 3 through 7, will not. Neither will mixed paper, such as mail, magazines, and newspapers.
Most communities in Alaska are not accepting mixed plastics like that, so I don't see that as being a major impact up here. And the mixed paper, a little more problematic because China uses a lot of mixed paper.
A number of Southeast Alaska communities barge their recycling, as well as their garbage, south. Republic Services, which has the contract, recently informed communities it won't be able to take such material. Sandra Woods is a municipal landfill specialist for the state.
What they've told everybody is they're going to accept everything like they have been, but it's important that the communities know that plastics 3 through 7 and the mixed paper is going to be landfilled after China no longer accepts it.
China is also cracking down on what's called contamination. That sounds like dirt or leftover food, but mostly it means too many unrecyclable items mixed in with the right materials. Jim Pinor is Juneau's municipal solid waste coordinator. He blames curbside recycling, which is also done in Juneau, as well as Petersburg.
When you think of the single stream recyclable collection program at the curbside, and everybody can just throw in everything all in one bin. That, I believe, has created the problem that has increased the percentage of contaminants going to China.
The new import rules don't kick in until January, but Panor says it's already had an impact on recycling revenue, which helps fund local collection and shipping efforts.
I was getting approximately $130 a ton for cardboard. Up until October. October, it went to $40. I was getting $85 to $100 a ton for my plastics. That went to $10.
He says contamination can only improve at the home or business level or with expensive sorting. It is possible China will roll back some of its restrictions before they take place, or they may be short-term. Panor says it gives large recyclers that take Alaska's material motivation to look for other customers.
They're looking at world markets. Where else can we ship our stuff? We're shipping it to China. Can we get Vietnam excited about making some manufacturing plants using recycled material from the United States, the Netherlands, Australia, different places?
Some recyclables haven't been shipped south to find new uses for a while. Glass, for example, mostly stays here due to low prices and high shipping costs, but some places crush it and use it for sand or gravel. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.